Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast, where we empower Christian business leaders to launch and grow blessed businesses so together we can advance the kingdom of God. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast and check out the online courses and resources at www.theblessedbusiness.com. That's www.theblessedbusiness.com. And if you're looking for ways to increase your income, check out the Income Accelerator course now available at theblessedbusiness.com/income. Now let's dive into today's episode. Welcome back, Blessed Business Tribe. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Blessed Business Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Haley, and today I'm doing another solo episode, but that's all right. Tony will be back, or we'll have some other guest on for too long, so you'll just have to endure with me until such time. But anyway, I just wanted to talk today a little bit about the nature of opportunity. I was blessed with the opportunity to go speak at a church recently, and I did a session for their personal growth and development class. And I was praying about it, thinking about it, and I honed in on opportunity and basically how to evaluate it, how to pursue it, and kind of what does this all even mean. So I would title this episode "The Nature of Opportunity," because a lot of times we think of opportunity in the wrong ways. And so I want to demystify some of what opportunity is and is not, and hopefully bust some myths and give you some practical tips to help you position yourself for opportunity going into the future. So let's start off with a definition of what is opportunity. When you think of opportunity, hey man, that was a great opportunity. What comes to mind? Okay. Maybe it's someone got a promotion, or someone got a job offer, or started a business, or had an investment opportunity, or they were asked to do something that, you know, was cool or whatever. And it's like, oh, that's a neat opportunity. They had the opportunity to go on a trip or a missions trip or something like that. That's cool. And so we think of opportunity a lot of times as maybe a little bit random, if that makes sense, from the standpoint of like, oh, wow, man, if life and circumstances would have positioned themselves correctly, well, then maybe I would have had that opportunity instead of this other person. And we're going to talk about how that's fundamentally flawed here in just a minute. But opportunity, defined by ChatGPT, I did ask ChatGPT about this, is a favorable juncture of circumstances that offers a chance to advance or make progress in personal, professional, or communal aspects. So it's a favorable juncture of circumstances that offers a chance. So this is a good thing generally, but there's an opportunity. There's a chance to advance or make progress professionally, personally, or in a communal way. And so this is a pretty good definition, but I kind of refined it a little bit myself. And I said, basically, to me, opportunity is latent potential for something good or important to happen if recognized and capitalized on. So basically, there's this untapped potential, this latent potential for something good to happen or important to happen if recognized and capitalized on. So opportunity is something that you have to recognize it and you have to act on, you have to capitalize on, you have to do something with it for it to really manifest. But opportunity presents itself and you don't have to see it. It was there all along and you just never saw it. And that's actually, when you think about it from that perspective, that's kind of like frustrating, because it's like, man, I never even saw that. How many times have we had something like that before where it was like something was staring us in the face the whole time and we never saw it? I remember before I got into the land business and I was doing real estate, before then, I would drive down country roads and it'd just be like trees and woods and whatever. I wouldn't notice that, pay that much attention. Now that I make my living buying and selling land, we'll be driving down the road, headed to an appointment or on vacation, whatever. And I'll be like, for sale sign. And I'm like, they're like, what's going on? And I'm like, did you see that? And I'm like, I put the, slam on the brakes, back up. I was like, there was an old faded for sale sign out in front of that farm. I need to call this guy. And so it's like opportunity. Like that sign's been there for 10 years. How have I not seen that? Call the guy and like, yeah, I'm ready to sell. And I'm like, where has this been all my life? I've been passing it. I just didn't see it. And so you have to see it and then take action to capitalize on it. And so there's latent potential all around us. And once you start developing yourself to be able to see opportunity and start positioning yourself to take advantage of it, it just opportunity is abundant. It's just a lot of times you are just tuned out to not be able to see it. And I think there's reasons why we do that. I think sometimes we try to rationalize subconsciously why we aren't better off or why we don't have more opportunity and like why we aren't looking for opportunity, because we don't feel like we are able to take advantage of it. And it would be very frustrating to see opportunity everywhere and not be able to take advantage at least of something. And I think subconsciously, that's the only thing I can come up with is why we don't pursue it more. However, if we're intentional about waking up to it and being able to create a good filter for that and figure out, okay, this is a good opportunity, bad opportunity, this opportunity is for me, that one's not for me, this one is for right now, this one may be something in the future, or it would be good, but it's just not the right time, and I'm okay with that. And I'll talk about that a little bit. I've got 7 laws of opportunity I want to share with you. But before I do, I want to talk a little bit about how opportunity shows up in our lives. So this is how opportunity shows up in our lives. One is blind luck. And this is kind of what I was alluding to. People think it's just opportunity is random chance. Man, that is just crazy that you were stumbled into the store at a certain time and they were running a 50% off sale. Like, and then you resold that on Amazon and made a huge profit. Man, if I would have just randomly stumbled in that store and caught that deal, you know, then man, I would have done that. The other day I was with a guy and he sells stuff on Amazon, and he said he was at an outlet store at Tanger Outlets in a community not far from here. And he said, man, they were running across. I got these tennis shoes for like 10 and 12 bucks a piece, and I bought everything they had. I mean, like, he's just got racks of them. And I was like, well, that's interesting. I said, well, how much are you selling on Amazon for? Well, I'm selling them for like 50 bucks on Amazon, and that's like half of what they normally go. I was like, what? And so it's like, so it seemed like random blind luck that you'd find a deal like that. However, he has figured out that there are those opportunities out there. So he goes looking for them. So he's going looking for it. If I go to the Tanger Outlet and I'm looking for shoes, I'm not looking for something that I can resell, because frankly, I thought the shoes looked ugly. But it doesn't matter if I think they're ugly. If they sell at a, you know, 4 or 5 times, you know, what you can pay for them, sell the ugly shoes, you know? I mean, like, it doesn't matter. It's opportunity. Opportunity doesn't, you don't have to like it to make an opportunity out of it. But again, his mindset and what he was seeing was different, but it was still right in front of me, because I've shopped at Tanger Outlet before and I never saw that opportunity. And so we can sometimes think that it's blind luck. And so blind luck, a lot of times, will people, when they speak it, they'll say it like this, or allude to the fact that opportunity comes to those that are born into the right family. Or if you grew up in a capitalistic culture, if you grew up in South America or Latin America or Asia or Africa or this small rural town in Mississippi versus the big city of New York or whatever, then your opportunities are limited. And there is some relative truth to that there is you don't choose who your parents are. And if they're wealthy or not, or if they're smart or not, you can't choose where you're born or where you're raised, but you can. So there is a little bit of a blind luck to that from that standpoint. But on the flip side, you can take action from where you're at now and not rely on blind luck. Opportunity doesn't just show up. It shows up in, I'm going to give you 4 different ways. And blind luck is how most people think opportunity shows up, but that's actually not the truth. Opportunity is created and it can be solicited. It doesn't just have to be blind luck. Now, Ecclesiastes 9 and 11 through 12 talks about time and chance happens to everyone. So there is an element of the human experience, we call it blind luck, but there is this concept, even in the Word of God, of time and chance, that sometimes it just happens that, man, you were given greater opportunity in life or lesser opportunity from this particular perspective. You know, some people are born really tall and really athletic, and their opportunities to be really good playing basketball or something else is way better than me. I'm short, stubby, and very slow. And so I have small hands, stubby fingers, and I'm short, and I'm not athletic, and I'm just not geared that way, right? I am balding and not like, I mean, my wife thinks I'm attractive, but I'm definitely not above average when it comes to looks. There's other people that are on their faces plastered all over magazines or ads because they were, you know, gifted through what some people would call the opportunity to do those things because of the blind luck of they had the right DNA genes, right? So we can look at that sometimes and we can give up on opportunity and just, you know, succumb to where we're at because we think it's blind luck. But I'm going to give you three other ways that luck, I'm sorry, that not luck, but opportunity shows up in our life. So the second way is akin to blind luck, but there's another element to it. And this is what I would call serendipity. This is instead of just like time and chance, this is more right place, right time. This is where the stars align, okay? And this is more so like you have acquired, let's say, a special interest or you connected with someone. This is an example of this. So this is serendipity, this random coincidence of time and circumstance and skill sets that kind of come together. And it's like, oh, wow, this is really cool. So for instance, me and my wife adopted a little boy from South Korea, our son Winston, last year. And as part of that process, we met some really cool people and we connected with them and they're Christian and they are business owners. They're doing well. And we connected and we've known them for a year or two now. Like we really like them. They're great people. Well, we just kind of happened to find out a year or two later that they happen to be the governor of a state's son. I'm like, what? Your dad's a governor of one of the 50 states? I'm not going to say which one, but one of the 50 states in the United States. And they live like way far away from us and we travel and see each other. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So this is like a serendipitous opportunity. Not that I'm trying to like leverage that relationship, but it's like I didn't go looking to be connected to someone who is like that, right? But at the same time, we, through life and circumstance, it put us on similar paths, and that was cool. Another example would be if you're training to be a pilot, okay? And let's say that you are you haven't quite made it yet, all right? So you haven't been able to get a job in the airline industry. You went through pilot school, you got your pilot's license, but no one's hiring you, right? However, you're on a flight, and the current pilot of the jumbo jet or whatever it is, right? Gets incapacitated and he passes out and they get on the intercom. It's like, excuse me, does anybody know how to fly a plane? And you're like, yes, this is my moment. And you dash up to the cockpit and save the day and you're a hero, get splashed all over the news. And like, you've got 50 offers the next week from people wanting to hire you because you landed the plane, right? And so that is serendipity. You couldn't have planned for that to be the launch of your career and get a bunch of opportunity thrown at you as far as job offers or business celebrity endorsements or whatever. But at the same time, you took intentional effort to build a skill set that when opportunity presented itself to fly a plane, you were positioned to take advantage of it. And so serendipity is good, but it's hard to plan for that. So you can develop certain skills that position you to take advantage of those opportunities if they come, but the timeline and the type of opportunities kind of more on the time and chance side. But this is more like right place, right time, okay? So this is a step in the right direction where you have a little bit more control because of the decisions you made, the skills you added, the people you networked with, the places you visited, the things you've done, right? Kind of set you up to be able to take advantage of that. And that's good. However, the third type is solicitation. This is where you go looking for opportunity and are very intentional about positioning yourself for it. And so this is where you kind of anticipate anticipate unpredictable circumstances that are likely to happen, meaning you can't predict when it's going to happen, but you know it's going to happen. That's kind of refine that a little bit. And you kind of position yourself to take advantage of it. I love Naval talked about this in his book and podcast. Naval, I think his last name is Rivikant. I don't know how you say that. I apologize if I butchered that. But he has a good principle he talks about is that finding sunken treasure a lot of times is kind of like blind luck, okay? Someone snorkeling in the Caribbean and they stumble across Blackbeard's treasure. I don't even know. He may not have been in the Caribbean. I don't know. But you're stumbled across something super valuable. There's a sunken ship down there and, oh my, I see gleaming gold coins. I just can't get to it. Well, sunken treasure, finding that is blind luck, okay? And maybe it's serendipity. You've developed the skill of being a scuba diver and you like to scuba dive certain places. And then like, wow, you just happen to be through time and chance, you happen to be at the right place, right time, and you scuba dived at the right place when, you know, the sands, you know, a storm had, you know, pushed some sand over, and then, wow, there's the treasure chest, right? So it could be blind luck or serendipity, right? But solicitation says, all right, it's really hard to predict finding a treasure. But every year or every few years, somebody or multiple somebodies find extremely valuable sunken treasure. And so this is kind of somewhat unpredictable when it's going to happen, but we know there's a pretty high probability that it can or will happen. So what he talks about is instead of go looking for buried treasure or sunken treasure, become known as the world's most renowned and best treasure recovery service, okay? Because sunken treasure is usually hard to get to places, and a lot of times buried treasure is too. And so if you position yourself in the marketplace as, hey, if you find sunken treasure, we've got the boats, the equipment, the experience, the skill set, the deep diving equipment, whatever it takes to recover that treasure, okay? And so if you recover that treasure, they're going to give you a big, healthy portion of that. You may get 10%, 20%, 50%, maybe 80%. I don't know, depending on how hard it is to get to. And so but again, even though it was a lucky set of circumstances, or it was, you know, kind of random opportunity that kind of presented itself to other people, you knew that was going to happen at some point in life and and over time. And so you position yourself not to try to go be lucky, but to position yourself to quote unquote get lucky when other people are lucky. Okay. And so basically it's like, if you don't play the lottery, because I don't play the lottery, I think it's a silly waste of money, but somebody's going to win the lottery, right? So if you position yourself as being a financial advisor that specializes in helping people manage lottery winnings, well, that's a totally different play on opportunity than just blindly playing the lottery. Not that I'm necessarily promoting that as a career path or as a business, line of business for your financial advisory firm. Although, I mean, if the shoe fits, right? So you know people are going to win the lottery every year, and statistically, most of them blow it, spend it, give it away, and they're worse off within, I forgot if it's 3 to 5 years, they're usually financially and emotionally and relationally worse off after that. So you market yourself as that, as, hey, look, don't waste all your winnings. Don't waste all your winnings. You know, like don't let the greatest, you know, thing that ever happened in your life financially destroy you, right? Don't be a victim of your own success. Like, you could market that and position yourself that when people win the lottery, the first thing they think of is like, oh yes, I need to go talk to these people because they are the experts at helping me not, you know, basically lose everything that I just won. And so if you position yourself that way, you position yourself to be lucky when other people are lucky. And while you can't plan for blind luck, like the raffle draw is very random, or rigged, however you want to say it. You know, people have different theories on that. But positioning yourself to take advantage of whoever the random winner is because somebody's going to win, that is not as random. So you can solicit opportunity by positioning yourself. And it's the same thing with like the Robinhood app. And this is not investment advice, but the app Robinhood, which is a financial, you know, app, you can trade stocks and cryptocurrencies and stuff like that. I've used it. I like it. I don't have an affiliate link, although I'm probably look into getting one of those to create serendipitous opportunity if that's something you want to look into. And I told you about it. If you lose money, that's not my fault. Disclaimer, this is not investing or tax or legal advice ever on this podcast. But having said that, I've noticed, and I heard an interview that or someone talked about this, and I thought it was brilliant because right now they really attract the, like, you know, 18 to 35, maybe 40-year-old, maybe, especially in that 25 to 35 range, that is like their market. And those accounts may have 5,000, 10,000, 50,000 in them, right? It ranges, right? And so those accounts have smaller account balances, but these are active people that are learning to trade, managing their finances. They love the Robinhood app. It's simple. It's easy. They're adding a lot of services, and I mean, it's actually a really good platform. I really believe in the company. So That's good, but what they see is there's trillions of dollars that are going to be transferred in the next, I think I saw it in 2048, maybe my statistics wrong, but it's that the point still stands. I think it was over 100 trillion. I don't know if it was 25 trillion or 100 trillion, but basically literally trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars is projected to transfer from like the baby boomer generation and the silent generation or whatever, like the older generation is now. Between now and 2048, a lot of that wealth is going to transfer to the people who are in their 20s and 30s, maybe early 40s right now. And so if that's the case, they're targeting a market. They see this wealth transfer coming. And if you start Googling articles, people are starting to pay attention to this. Okay. And so it's going to become a thing over the next 5 or 10 years. And so, because once opportunity becomes apparent and obvious and everyone finds out, it's a little too late to position yourself. It's not too late, but it's more difficult to position yourself to take advantage of it. So, but Robinhood sees this coming. And they're like, if we can capture the hearts and minds and financial, you know, become the financial tool of all these people who are standing in line to inherit this vast amount of wealth, their account's going to go from 10 to 20,000, maybe 50,000 to maybe like 500,000 or $5 million, right? In a fairly short period of time, because they're going to, when they inherit all this wealth, and there's this like, you know, rusty old, nothing against Charles Schwab, but there's this Schwab account that's kind of got this gray haired, you know, kind of feel to it, right? It was like old and antiquated TD Ameritrade. And like, you know, again, nothing against those platforms. They have their role and stuff like that. And I'm not condemning them, but what are you going to use? You're going to use what you've always used for the last 5 or 10 years. You're going to use Robinhood. And Robinhood is constantly incentivizing people to move money from those other accounts into this one. So they are positioning themselves to take advantage of an anticipated. We don't know when it's all going to happen, but we know it's going to happen because people are going to die. And there's a huge amount of wealth out there that will transfer, right? To whom and how and when, we don't know exactly, but we know it's going to happen. So it's unpredictable in some instances, but it's also very predictable in others. And so how do we position ourselves for that? Same thing with people that are building assisted living homes and stuff like that. They anticipate that happening over the next number of years. And so people with wealth are going to want nice places to live and not go to a what we consider a nursing home right now. They're looking for alternative really nice accommodations, but some assisted living. And like there's whole communities being developed around this, right? And so there is this bubble of a generation that has a lot of wealth that's getting older. How do we cater to them? So how do you position yourself or solicit opportunity, right? And so that's another way you can do it. But then there's a fourth way that opportunity shows up in our lives. And that is God. God is the creator of opportunity. He can orchestrate circumstances on our behalf and put things in place and be able to make us be in a position where we can take advantage of things or to be positioned to step into things that we could not have on our own. When you are giving to the kingdom of God, when you are a willing vessel, when you are walking with integrity and honesty and employing biblical principles and embracing business as mission that we talk about all the time. When you're doing those types of things, you're incentivizing God to kind of nudge things in your direction. We see this all the time in the Bible. And then we key in on certain scriptures that talks about like the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, you know, or there's, and I could pull, I should have probably pulled this up before this episode, but there's a lot of scriptures that talk about the wealth transfer from wicked people or people that weren't using their resources optimally for the kingdom of God. That story of the talents. That's another one. To whom hath will be given and to whom hath not will be taken away. And basically he's talking about, you know, someone went and doubled theirs and they had the most, but then someone went and hid it in the ground and they weren't using it. Well, God, or in the analogy here is God took it from them and gave it to the person who's doing something with it, right? And so there's a lot of principles in the word of God that opportunity will flow to you if you're the type of person that takes God, the resources and views yourself as a steward of God's resources, and you take those and you deploy those in your own life for your benefit and into the kingdom for the benefit of the kingdom of God in a wise way, and you're a good steward and a good manager of that, then you're incentivizing God to bless you with more. Because the blessings of God usually flow through other people. You know, I think it was Nehemiah that went back and rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem or the temple one. There was a couple different guys back there, and I've had a long day and I normally can keep them straight, but my mind's a little fuzzy. I apologize. But basically, God set up that king to put resources in the hand of his servant, Nehemiah, I believe it was, to go with the resources and permission to go rebuild the wall. And then there was another one that came along, and I'm drawing a blank. I can't believe this. I know this. I do this all the time, but talk about it all the time. But anyway, he came back, and he was it Ezra? Ooh. Bible scholars, get on the comment section and help me. if we were doing this live, y'all could help me right now. But I think it may have been Ezra that went back and built the temple, or I believe it was. Anyway, needless to say, God set up wicked kings, just like with Joseph, set up wicked kings and rulers to control resources, but put it in the hand and be deployed by people that were under the that were wise stewards of the influence and opportunity and resources God had given them. Joseph is probably the best example of this. He was second in command to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, I mean, Egypt back then, it was a wicked country. And throughout all of the Bible, it symbolizes, worldliness and lack of godliness, right? And so all that being said, he was set up to be a ruler and basically had control how to disperse the resources of a wicked nation, and God was the one who created that opportunity. He's the one that gave the king the dream for that Joseph was able to interpret. The same thing with Daniel. God gave him the dream, and Daniel interpreted it. God gave him Daniel the wisdom and Joseph the wisdom to handle the position that they were given. And so there is an element as a Christian that we hold on to that is bigger than blind luck. It's bigger than serendipity. It's bigger than solicitation, right? All those are true factors, and God created the system, the universe, to be abundant with opportunity. But there's also moments when he smiles upon his people and he orchestrates circumstances, or he navigates things in such a way, or kind of points us in a direction or nudges us that, hey, look, you need to go talk to that person. And we respond, and man, opportunity opens up. And so there's ways that God creates opportunity in our lives, and we have to be looking for that. And it takes faith to do that. And I have seven laws of opportunity, which is about the nature of opportunity, but I'm running out of time for today, for this episode to do it. So we'll have to do like another part two. I guess we'll call it the seven laws of opportunity or something like that. But so definitely stay tuned for that. But really what I'm trying to emphasize here is opportunity shows up in our lives in different ways. Okay, there. God created a system. I like how Jim Rohn talked about this. You know, if you're a farmer and you complain about the rain, the sunshine, and the soil and the seed, you're complaining about all you got, right? So don't complain about those things. Work with it, right? God designed the earth and us as human beings with creative minds and with the opportunity for abundance. When you plant a seed in the ground, it yields a harvest that is many times more than just that seed. So God, in his infinite wisdom and in his nature, is an abundance. He's an opportunity-focused God. And so the way he orchestrated the systems of the universe and our world is such that there is rain, sunshine, soil, and seed. And so if we will take those ingredients, those are biblical principles. If we will take those ingredients and work them, that in and of itself is a form of opportunity, right? To be on planet Earth is the greatest opportunity. God designed a system for our benefit. And a lot of times we don't think of it that way because we're just living day in and day out, paycheck to paycheck, you know, hand to mouth, right? And so, but really God designed it to be that way. And so blind luck, again, that's how in our human finite mentality, we just call it blind luck. But really, even that points back to a creator God who set up the system to generate random opportunity for you. Basically, there is random opportunities, and then there's serendipity, where opportunity meets you at the right time, right? And your position to be able to take advantage of it, this new opportunity. And then solicitation, but God also set it up to where if we take initiative, the Bible talks about being diligent and take initiative, then there's riches and wealth that come from that just because you're taking initiative and you see the system. You're like, okay, God, I see some ways in my human nature, I can go take advantage of that. And that's why people that are wicked can have financial success because the system is set up to that way. But it's not to prove their wickedness works, but it's to point them to a God who created everything. But then that's also where I think God gets a lot of glory out of stepping down in our unique circumstances as the creator of opportunity. He created the system, but he also is the orchestra conductor. And sometimes he orchestrates opportunity to land in our life and in our lap, and he creates opportunity. And so don't relegate opportunity to just quote unquote blind luck. Don't think that it's just random chance. Don't think like that. Opportunity is so much bigger. The nature of opportunity is God designed. It is designed by God. It's created by God. And when you see it that way, opportunity starts to present itself in so many different ways. When you open your eyes to see it, it's there and it's been there all along. Anyway, so I want to leave you with that today. I want to encourage you on that front. And hopefully you can start to see things differently. And I believe that God will help us if we're willing and able to be able to take, to not only see opportunity, but to be able to capitalize on it. And next time, we'll start talking about the 7 laws of opportunity.
This concludes today's episode, and we trust you were able to walk away with something of value from the content that you heard. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Be sure to share this episode with a friend. Sharing is caring, after all. And check out the resources available on our website at theblessedbusiness.com. We have a lot of goodies out there for you, like the Income Accelerator course that teaches you the 5 keys to unlocking your earning potential, or the Launch course, which is a step-by-step guide to help you launch your own business. Thank you for your time and attention today, and until next time, be blessed.